Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We got Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist and best-selling author, coming up at the bottom of the hour. And also in about 10 minutes, of course, we are starting Game 6 of the World Series. Los Angeles Dodgers trying to bring home their first World Series in 32 years. And Rob, that's a huge statement because this is the LA Dodgers.
I agree.
It'd be almost like saying, not they haven't been as dominant, obviously, as the Lakers, but it'd be like saying the Lakers or, you know, the Celtics or... at this point, the Patriots, you know, Steelers haven't won a Super Bowl or a championship in 32 years. That's hard to fathom. See Dallas doing something like that.
Right. Dallas is heading that way, Chris. Right. It's been 25 years.
Right, right.
But you're right. And think about all the young kids who've grown up in L.A. who've never seen the Dodgers win. You got 30-year-old men who have never seen their team win. I mean, that's incredible.
That is. Because when we were growing up,
the Dodgers
it
were always
was the Yankees, the Dodgers. Yeah. Pittsburgh came on with We Are Family. You know, the Reds, obviously.
Yep.
But there were a handful of teams that were just national teams. And the Dodgers were one of them. And they were huge. So, all right. Well, we have a special guest to start off this hour. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion. Now working as an NFL analyst, coach at the college level and the pro level, we are pleased to welcome in Charlie Weiss. Charlie, welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's going on, man? You know, this is truly the Odd Couple I'm talking to.
You're right about that, Charlie. We are aptly named. And obviously, a lot of people know you from your time on the coaching staff in New England. And so we got to start with Tom Brady. Look, he's 43 years old. If you're watching their games, I mean, his ball placement has been really, I don't say surprising me, but it's been impeccable for the last several weeks. And three of his touchdowns, I thought, on Sunday, Gronk, Scottie Miller, and Tyler Johnson were just perfectly placed balls. What are you surprised? I know you have faith in Brady, obviously, but he is 43. He is in a new system. Are you surprised at what he's been able to do so far?
No. You know, because when Tommy knows that he's on his way down, he'll walk away. He's too big a competitor. If he didn't think that he could play at a high level, he'd retire. Because it's too important for him to strive for excellence. So I knew, you know, as a matter of fact, I talked to him this summer. I mean, you know, he had the eye of the tiger now. He was almost like a kid in a candy store. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, him having to prove himself. You know, okay, I was there under Bill the whole time, you know, and now I'm going to a new place with new guys. And I think his age was almost irrelevant to him. You know, he wanted to go in there and do all he could to help this team win. And 18 touchdowns, 4 interceptions so far. I'd say so far, so good.
Charlie, you just said something that I think is spot on, is that despite all that's gone on in his career, Tom Brady does feel like he has to prove something. Because not everybody buys into the idea that it was all him. And when we talk about it, Chris and I argue all the time. Tom Brady has had a great career. That's not the issue. But that Patriots team, which you were part of and won four championships with, Adam Vinatieri was a big part of that team, one of the greatest kickers the NFL's ever seen. Bill Belichick's one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen. And the defense that he was able to have in the last three Super Bowls that the Patriots have won, the opponent hadn't scored a point in the fourth quarter, which allows you to be able to get back and win games. And even that Rams Super Bowl, they scored 3 points, Charlie. And remember, the Rams had the fifth greatest offense in the history of the NFL going into that Super Bowl. So I think Tom Brady does feel like he has something to prove, that it's not just Bill Belichick or other people, but he wants to be included. And do you think that he needs to do that, or am I off base on this?
Hey, listen, this guy's played with a chip on his shoulder from the day he entered the league. He walked into the league pissed off, you know, that he was drafted in the sixth round.
Right.
He was already mad, okay? And he just, you know, he sat for a year. He was our fourth-string quarterback his rookie year. Then his next year, you know, Bledsoe gets hurt early in the year. In training camp, as a matter of fact, the competition for the second quarterback was actually too close to call between him and Damon Ewart. You know, it wasn't like he clearly beat out Damon. You know, they brought in Damon from the backups with the Dolphins to be the number two quarterback, and Tommy to be number three. But you know, we decided by a nudge he beat a guy. You know, and then he went in there at the year of Super Bowl 36, and he took baby steps. And we didn't start off the year very good, and as the year went on, we got better and better, and we played to our defense. And then by the end of the year, you know, he's in a 2-minute drive against the greatest show on turf, getting us in field goal range to kick a field goal to begin the dynasty.
What Charlie, as Rob was saying, we talk about, you know, who deserves more credit. Both of them deserve a ton, obviously. Belichick, Brady. And I've been on the side that Brady deserves a little more, and I've used Belichick's record, you know, without Brady. He's had 7 years without Brady, not including this one. He's made the playoffs once. And obviously, Drew Bledsoe wasn't chopped liver, you know, with you guys in New England. He was a, you know, Pro Bowl quarterback several years. What was it about Brady, or is it about Brady, that, you know, I mean, he stepped in. You guys, I think, were 0-2 when he took over, and the rest is history. What is it about this guy that separates him in terms of just winning? Because obviously that's all he's done.
Well, there's two different – I have to break it into two different parts. When he first started, okay, it was like taking baby steps and growing as the year went on. You know, and we did more and more because we understood complementary football. The strength of our team was our defense. So we would go into a game understanding how we had to play that game. If we were playing against somebody that we had to score a bunch of points, then we game planned accordingly. But usually we played into the strength of our team, which was our defense. Now, as the years went on, you know, that changed. I mean, Super Bowl 38, you know, we're you know, it was basically nothing till the end of the second quarter, and then it was a score fest for the rest of the game between the two teams. It was supposed to be a defensive struggle. I don't think anyone stopped anyone for a half. So, I mean, what I can say about both Tommy and Bill is it's really not fair. You know, it's really not fair either way to sit there and say it was one guy over the other. I mean, obviously, right now, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to sit there and halfway through the year and say, see, it was more Tommy than it was Bill, because right now the Patriots are struggling and Tommy and the Bucks are doing fine. But in reality, having been there and just being a small part of the team that I was, I can tell you that both those guys are sure first ballot Hall of Famers, maybe the greatest of all time at their respective jobs, and to try to separate one from the other, I don't think is right.
You just mentioned Charlie about New England And Cam and the Patriots were playing well. After week three or four, people were saying, wow, look at what the Patriots are doing without Tom Brady. Things were moving along. Cam got COVID. He's come back. He's really struggled. 5 interceptions the last 2 games. Can they get that turned around in New England and get Cam back to where he was? Or do you see some danger signs, Charlie?
Well, you definitely see danger signs. But here's one of the problems. When you have a quarterback like Cam, and this has been, you know, Cam's career now, Cam's an MVP caliber talent at the quarterback position. But we all know one of the things they do because of his rare, unique skills are design called runs with him carrying the ball. And I've never been a big fan of called runs, especially inside runs, like power and counter and those things for a quarterback, because those guys on defense, you know, just love the opportunity to get some vicious hits on them besides when they're pass rushing.
Absolutely.
So I think if Cam's healthy, okay, he keeps his habits good. I think when Cam's not healthy, then he falls back into the same things that we've seen in his career, where he starts throwing flat-footed and some of those things. Do I think he can write it? Absolutely, I think he can. I mean, and I think that, you know, he's in that situation right now where he kind of knows, you know, he better fix this in a hurry.
Right.
Because, you know, put it like this. They play Buffalo in Buffalo this week. Buffalo never beats the Patriots. I mean, they beat them like a couple times over the last 15, 20 years.
Right.
I mean, they hardly ever win. But if Buffalo, you know, who was a favorite in this game, if Buffalo were to win this game this week, I think the division race is over.
If they get win.
I'm not ruling the Dolphins out of the division, but I'm saying if the Patriots end up losing their fourth game in a row and the Bills walk out of that game 6-2, you know, that is a big, big lead to try to come back from in the division.
Former NFL and college coach Charlie Weiss joining the iCouple.
Chris, I just was going to Charlie real quick. Tampa Bay's already scored 1-0.
Right, right.
And guess who did it?
A Rosarena
with a home run in the first inning. Tampa's up 1-0 over the Dodgers.
Listen, when the Yankees got knocked out of it, baseball season ended.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say
baseball season's over.
I know. Hey, I knew you were gonna say that, Charlie. I know. Once your team is out.
I mean, I say the same thing. I'm on the radio. People talking about the World Series. I said baseball season ended a couple of weeks ago.
I hear you. I hear you on that, Charlie. I was gonna ask you about Arizona, But you brought up the Dolphins, so I'm going to go there. Did they make the right move with going to Tua? We heard, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick talk about he was heartbroken. Obviously, they were playing pretty good football. Do you think it was the time to go to Tua?
I have my guess on how this went down. Now, once again, this is nothing but a guess. Originally, Miami's bye was supposed to be week 11. But because of COVID, mm-hmm. their bye ended up being this past week. I think that organizationally, they probably determined that by that time, by the bye week, that would be the best time to put Tua in there, where he'd have two weeks to practice and get ready for a game. And when because of their schedule got changed because of COVID, I think they just stuck to the plan. Am I surprised that they made this move at this time? Yes, I'm surprised. I think Fitz was playing good enough, okay, and he's clearly the leader of the team. But when they drafted Tua, they drafted Tua for the future of this program.
Right.
And if they feel he's ready to go, hey, I'm a big Tua fan. Okay, I'm a big Fitz fan. But I mean, I love Tua. I mean, I watched him play for a couple years. You know, he was really close with my kid who was down there at Alabama. I'm a Tua fan. was there ever a good time to pull a popular guy like Fitz? No. What are you, just rooting for him to have a bad game to make a change? No. I mean, so if there's ever a time to make a change, a round of bye is always a good time.
All right. That's Charlie Weiss.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate
excellent
it.
Stuff. We really appreciate
and
it.
And, Charlie, I know you're from the New York area, and you know you watched The Odd Couple on Channel 11 with Tony Randall and Jack Klugman. So I just want you
Oscar
to know.
And
so,
Felix. Oscar
that's right. I'm Oscar, and Chris
Oscar.
Is Felix. All right. I just want you.
all right, Charlie. Wrong. Thanks a lot.
That's awesome.
All right. We'll talk to you later. That's Charlie Weiss. Good stuff from him, Rob. A little bit of background on Tom Brady. He was there. He was there.
He saw it all happen. Right. Yep. So he's a better guy to be able to break it down.
Yep, no question about that. All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, and this just might be the worst 5-2 team in NFL history. That's right. We'll get into that next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a Tyshir Tuesday. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And Rob, you mentioned it as we were talking to Charlie Weiss. Randy Arozarena goes yard in any number one and puts the Rays up 1-0.
And
they got Gonsolin in trouble. They got men on first and second, two outs. Now, they had one out. He just got out the last batter. But we'll see if he survives. He's already thrown like 24 pitches.
Yeah, so
he ain't going to last long.
Right. They did their job, Chris, because they'll get him out of the game quick.
Right. Absolutely.
With a big first inning. And if they get a clutch hit here, they could be up a couple of runs.
Yeah, they if I'm them, I feel like I got to get one of these runners in. Got to get one of these runs.
I agree because they have, like you said.
Oh, he just got out of it. Yeah. Okay, so one run. I mean, he survived it. 25 pitches. He survived it. One run. So we'll see if they send him out for the second. I guess they will. All right. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. And we're going to have Dan Wetzel joining us at the bottom of the hour, Rob, Yahoo Sports columnist, best-selling author. But I got to say this, right? We are talking NFL, and there's an interesting thing going on in Chicago. They're 5-2. Of course, last night they lost 24-10 to the Rams.
Which is not like the end of the world, right? Because game was... Wasn't that game here? Wasn't it in L.A., right?
I'm not sure where. Yeah, it was in L.A. Yeah, so it's not a horrible loss.
So it's not like a horrible loss that they came to L.A. and lost to the Rams. So, right,
but,
let's not.
What I'm going to say is this, though, Rob. I mean, obviously, they're winning because of their defense. All right, they got a stud defense. And I think they went to Nick Foles too early. They were 2-1 when they benched Mitch Trubisky, and Nick Foles has been anything but impressive in his 3-4 starts that he's had. And they're winning despite him. They're not winning because I think yesterday, did he have 2 picks? No touchdown passes, 2 picks. They are winning in spite of him. And you and I, Matt Nagy should have gave us a call. Matt Nagy, the Bears coach, he should have gave us a call. He should have downloaded the Odd Couple podcast.
That's
something.
Right. He
We've been saying it.
He could have been 1,000,001 in a month, Chris. He could have been 1,000,001st, you know?
Right. That's right. I mean, and look, you know this. I like Nick Foles. I've used him against you in our arguments about Wentz and all that. But we both know, we both have said it. Put the keys in his hand, and he's going to drive the car off the cliff if you do it too early. He is one of those guys, Rob, that I think it's because He just doesn't like the pressure and the responsibility of having to deliver. When nothing's expected, it's the end of the season, nobody expects us to, you know, do anything in the playoffs, he'll be great, as we saw, what, a few years ago. But when you give him the ball and say, it's your team, Nick, we believe in you. 16 weeks, we're putting it all in your hands. He can't do it. And they went to him too early. They were 2-1 with Trubisky. Their numbers, neither one of them impressive. I'm not trying to say Trubisky's all that great.
But we do know who Nick Foles is, Chris.
Yes.
And we've talked about it.
He's not your quarterback of the future.
He's just not. You remember when they went down, everybody, oh, they went and got him for Jacksonville. Remember that?
Yeah.
He lost a job down in Jacksonville. He couldn't even hold on to the job.
Absolutely. So
and we see it's a pattern. He's had it a few times where they've given him the job because he looks so good in relief normally. And then, you know, let's not forget that game against Atlanta that he came back, Chris, had the great comeback.
Right.
Everybody beats Atlanta. Did you see what Matthew Stafford and the Lions did to Atlanta?
Cowboys, Exhibit A.
Everybody beats them. So you can't judge a performance against the Atlanta Falcons as, like, Exhibit A or proof positive. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. And Trubisky, again, his numbers weren't great. Foles is throwing him for about 40 more yards per game than Trubisky was. However, Trubisky, better touchdown to interception ratio. He has 6 TDs, 3 picks. Foles has 6-6. And Trubisky has him beat in passer rating and QBR. And so, look, they had already obviously made the decision that Trubisky's not their guy either for the future. But I just think you went too early. If you had gone to Foles in week 11, you might have been all right. You might have been all right, right? But it's too early now, and they can't.
And I don't think they can't go back now. I think Mitch Trubisky's lost for the year.
Look, they're still winning. He's not going to be better than this guy. You're right, right. And unless Foles just starts throwing him out of games and, you know, really becomes a problem, I think you could go back to him, but it's got to be a reason. You can't keep winning even if your quarterback doesn't really look good and make the switch, because Trubisky was doing the same thing. So, all right, we got Yahoo's Dan Wetzel coming up next. He says, Rob, it's time for a Patriots fire sale. He'll tell us why next, but first.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Columnist from Yahoo Sports, also a best-selling author, friend of the show. He's with us often, Dan Wetzel. Dan, how are you?
What's up, Dan?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
And Chris, you didn't mention my former neighbor from Southfield in Berkeley.
That's right.
I feel for you, Dan.
That's right. Hey, in the neighborhood, we would spend so much time, 24 seconds bar and grill on 12 Mile Road, Chris. Great place, right, Dan? Bob is the owner there. And
Dan, did Rob ever get anything other than chicken wings?
No.
Probably never.
Probably not. But you got to see, I was very sad when Rob moved because he had a pool and a basketball court at his house.
Yes. Yeah, I heard it was quite the bachelor.
We had great parties there.
Yeah, he had some good parties, too. So it was very sad when he moved. But that's all right. I'm still here holding it down for you.
There you go.
Dan, speaking of sad, it's pretty sad up in New England right now. You wrote a column saying, look, forget the playoffs. It's time for a fire sale.
Playoffs?
Tell us why you think, like, there's no hope for them to come back and do anything this year.
Well, my thing is New England's a different type of franchise than any other. I'm not going to sit here and be dumb enough to say Bill Belichick can't somehow work some magic and turn this into an 8-8, 9-7 team and make the playoffs, because we have seen this. There is a litany of bad takes of writing off Patriot teams early in the season and saying they're done.
However, from Rob Parker.
Whatever.
Half of them are from Rob. There's probably a few Parker ones in there.
You know it. That.
But this is not the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick teams. And Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. And They got five guys out on defense, opted out, including Hightower. I'm a really good player. Quarterback play is Cam has not been doing well. Maybe he gets back to it. Maybe not. Whatever you come up with this team, this is not a team that's going to beat Kansas City, that's going to beat Tennessee, that's going to beat Baltimore, that's going to beat Pittsburgh. This is not an AFC championship team. And that is the standard for New England. For the last 20 years, they had eight straight years where they made the AFC championship game, at least. They've been to 13 of them since 2001. The standard is win a Super Bowl or at least get to a Super Bowl. The Patriots could, if you're a different franchise, you're sitting there saying, hey, we might still be able to make a playoff charge. That's pretty good for us. That's not the Patriots standard. So if you're sitting there saying, our fans don't want to watch us just slink into the playoffs, lose in the first round, maybe make a wild card, that's not what we're about. Do we have assets? What can we do right now to accelerate this rebuild? And I don't know what they'll get for offers because they don't have a ton. But in that case, you don't buy you don't buy. Their standard is this is basically a lost season. But yep. What if you have multiple first-round draft picks going into that draft? What if the Patriots slink, drop into the top 10 and all of a sudden have a shot at someone good? What if you start trading guys and bulking up for the future and then get a quarterback for the future and do a lot of things? That now makes this season worth it, and I don't think their fans will even care.
See, I disagree, Dan. I don't think that their fans are going to buy this whole attitude that they can't win and they should throw the towel in and woe is me and let's just accept it. It's not like they can't, and especially in a year where they added a playoff team to each conference, the idea that they can't be one of them and have a shot. If they lose, they lose. But to throw the towel in, the Patriots saying, we can't compete, we're just going to – I don't believe Bill Belichick will be a part of that. I do not believe Patriots fans would feel good about the idea of just giving in. It ain't like they're 0-6 and got no shot. And their quarterback did get COVID, and they had played well earlier. I mean, if they scored on the one-yard line against Seattle, they would have been off to a good start. And I get it. The last 2 weeks have looked awful, but I think he could bounce back. I just can't see Bill Belichick signing off on that.
See, I think last year Patriots fans were pretty realistic in that team wasn't that good. And I remember being at that playoff game where Tennessee beats them, and that the mood was just so much about – well, let's just get Tom, final game at Foxborough, let's get him a win, and then that's going to be it. We're not going to beat Baltimore. They started 8-0 last year, and Patriots fans weren't overconfident. Because they
well,
because
that was the worst 8-0 team I'd ever seen. I remember right
yeah,
now.
It was.
But yeah. If you're 8-0 in you're 8-0 in Detroit or Cleveland or Cincinnati or one of these places, the town's going bananas. It doesn't matter how bad you are. Patriots fans are like, we're 8-0, but this team is bad. We're not good enough to win a Super Bowl. We know what a Super Bowl team looks like. This ain't it. And then all of a sudden you get housed by Baltimore, you get housed by Kansas City. You know you're not beating those teams. So I you're going to have hopefully a bunch of Patriot fans calling your show and they can say I'm wrong or right. My feeling is like this isn't happening this year. And it's not just
Dan,
because
I actually agree with you on the fans, but what about Belichick? That's the thing. Like, can you see him buying into a tank job?
I don't know. But Bill Belichick always says the same thing. I'm just doing what's best for the team. Bill Belichick is the master at getting rid of guys 1 year too early rather than 1 year too late.
Like Tom Brady.
He will move. Yeah, well, maybe that wasn't 1 year.
He's wrong on that one.
He was wrong on that one, but he will not hold on. If he's going to be sentimental and play for pride, then I just think he's missing an opportunity. Okay, they can drop in and get a top 10 pick for the first time in a long time. They right. Maybe you Stephon Gilmore, if they want to trade, was a first-round pick. They've got other assets to bulk up in the middle. They don't have a ton. Joe Thuney, the offensive line. You got Rex Burkhead. You know, Julian Edelman as a veteran slot guy for a contender. He's a clutch guy. You might be able to pick up some mid-round picks on those guys. Or I don't know what the market would bear. But you have a few assets, and all of a sudden you go into rebuilding next year, you go into that draft with a lot of capital, maybe two first-round picks or different things, and you're going to get your guys back. And yeah, you lose Gilmore. He's a great player. But you start that rebuild quicker. And it's just that roster has just been – like last year they traded a second rounder for Mohamed Sanu who didn't do anything. Like they've always been buying at the deadline because you're trying to get that one more piece. But they are so many pieces away. I think Belichick knows better than anyone what it takes to win a Super Bowl. And I don't think this team is remotely it, both offensively and defensively.
All right, that's our man Dan Wetzel. You make a good case, brother. We appreciate the time.
It'll be interesting to see where they go, but I think Bill did the right thing. That's saying I'm going to stick with Cam. What about real quick, Dan? Can you say this, Stenham? And obviously they missed a boat on him. I mean, they put him in to see if he could catch fire or do anything, but he really hasn't played that well, has he?
We've not seen it. A lot of this is based on sort of the belief that internally they all really like Stidham. He has not done this on the field. He's not shown this on the field. I mean, he just hasn't. I think the one concern, if I'm the Patriot fan that says Stidham's going to be the next Tom Brady, this, you know, mid-late round guy,
right.
no one hurt, wouldn't he start this week? Wouldn't you pull the plug and say, all right, we're going to give Stidham a chance this week and not go back to Cam?
Absolutely.
You know, if they were seeing something.
The fact there didn't – yeah, if they were seeing something, I would – I don't know what that means, and I don't think you necessarily give up. But, I mean, you couldn't play much worse than Cam Newton did last week. So, you know, do you, just sitting there saying, hey, we're going to go with Stidham now. It's Stidham time. Let's see. We know we've got something special. That's my one hesitation, because I did think going into the season, hey, they really do like him. This guy could be pretty good. They've been really good at finding these guys. But, you know, when do you make that pull? Because Cam could be good, but clearly the last two weeks he just hasn't. And they also didn't go Stidham initially when Cam was out. They went with Hoyer.
Right.
There was that.
Yeah,
too.
That's another sign. Exactly. That's a good point. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan. Great job,
care,
man.
Guys.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports. Thanks a lot, man. More iCouple coming your way. Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio. Keep it locked.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it is Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Rob, let's switch quickly, briefly, to the NBA. And a story came out a few days ago that the NBA, according to sources, is looking at starting its next season in December, games starting just before Christmas or, you know, maybe right on Christmas Day. And it'd be a 72-game regular season. And a big part of the reason they play in their normal arenas with no fans, but a big part of the reason they're thinking about doing this is that they want to get back on their regular schedule. Obviously, they played in the bubble at a time where people aren't used to seeing basketball. You competed with football, baseball, and the ratings were way down. There were many reasons,
right.
But
right.
You know that probably was one of them that you had so many other sports options. And then today, Danny Green and Jared Dudley kind of said it as well, but Danny Green went more specific, said, if you start this soon, don't expect LeBron to play for the first month. And then Jared Dudley said a lot of stars might sit out if that's the case. And Rob, I don't think they should be starting this early. These players, Rob, they spent 3 months in a bubble, 2 months for some of them, 3 months for others in a bubble. And I'm not saying it was the worst thing in the world, but still, I'm sure it was very tough. They were away from their families and all that. And they played, here's the thing too, Rob, they played every other day. Wasn't like you're getting 3 days off here or there. Now later in the playoffs, they got more breaks. But for the most part, they played every other day. And the off season would essentially be cut in half. I don't think they should do it. I think they should start a little later. I get wanting to get back on the schedule, but I think you can end in early July, and that's not going to be a problem. And then you can get back on the schedule the next year. Your break is a little bit shorter, but nothing like this. I'm not a big fan of this.
I think that they should just, no matter what it is, Chris, to get back on schedule, leave the playoffs where we're used to having the NBA playoffs, backdate it, give them whatever their time is that they normally get, right, from when the season ended, give them their regular time.
You mean after this upcoming season?
What we just had.
Oh, what's their, well, they usually get about, what, 4 months, roughly.
Well, whatever.
So let's say they start in February. So let's say that.
Yep. And then okay. You start in February, or I would try to start in January. So I'll make it 3 months off, 3 months. And then play from January to April and then start the playoffs. And whatever the game
total
is, that's what it is. If it's 55 games or whatever, that's what it is. Chris, if baseball can cut 102 games out of their schedule, because remember, that's what it was. They cut 102 games out.
Right.
And my point is, you'll never get back on schedule until you keep the playoffs where they're supposed to be. And then you have to make shift. You have to give at some point. I know you don't want to give up the TV money in the games or whatever, but you'll always be off schedule. And you got to get back on schedule. And the only way to do it is you got to bite the bullet one season. And that's
so
next
you
season.
You are against the December start, though.
Yes, I am.
I think you make sense. Like I said, to me, it doesn't have – usually the finals ends in mid-June, like June 18th, whatever.
I'm just saying that as close as you can keep it.
I think if they go 3 weeks past that, it's fine. But I agree, keep it somewhere in that vicinity so then you can start the following year basically on time.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm with you there. And here's the thing. Look, I would like to see probably at least 60 games. So say you play 62 games instead of 82. Let's keep it real, Rob. There isn't you 62 games is enough to see who are the best 8 teams in each conference. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's right. Heck, like you said, baseball did 60.
That's not enough in baseball, but they did it
and it was successful.
Right. And you know what, Chris? The two best teams made it to the World Series.
Yep.
So there's your... The two best teams made it to the World Series.
Yep. So I do think that I agree with you to some degree because you don't have to play 82. You don't have to play 72. You could play 62. I know they, like you said, the TV money, maybe they do need to play a certain number, 70-ish, to get that. So I understand that. But, I just think starting in December is way too early. I wouldn't blame players. And LeBron, we know, got a lot of power. So if he wants to speak up about this, it could change. And it's not written in stone yet anyway. All right, an hour left with the Odd Couple. You know what to do. Keep it locked.